Welcome to Straight Talk with your host, Patty Foster.
This is Patty Foster welcoming you to Straight Talk with Patty. With me today is Rosa Blum. Rosa and Ossie were two of the founding members of the Dallas Holocaust Museum.
I'm an Auschwitz survivor.
So talk with us about how your hair saved you so many times.
I traveled. We were taken right before Passover. We had Passover and home. Right after Passover, they came and they adopted us and took us away. The whole family. We all just went like sheep.
Yeah. Mm.
We traveled for 2 days and two nights to get to a destiny. When we were there, from Passover to Shavuos. Shavuos is the second holiday after Passover. It's 6 weeks from Passover. It's 6 weeks later, exactly. Okay. We were taken in and taken to train. They put us on a train. And we traveled 4 days and four nights. But no food, no water, no toilets. You can imagine how 135 to 145 people in one of the train. What happened in there? Children and babies and old people and new people. A woman gave birth to twins, I believe. I'm not sure, one or two. But a baby was born on the train as I was traveling to. When we arrived there, we arrived the second day of Shavuos. I will never forget it. It's a memorial day anyway. And it's the second day of Shavuos. I will always remember it all my life. And when we arrived, my grandmother didn't have too much to do. And I had long hair all the way down to my knees. And she looked at me and she said, "You know something, I think I'm going to comb your hair." And she undone my braids. When she undone my braids, the train door opened up. And everybody was pushing for fresh air. You all can imagine what happened. It was unreal what has happened after they pushed me out. I fell down. And from the train we went out. And I looked at my grandmother and I said, "Grandma, I cannot walk like this. Hair loose all over me." She said, "Go find yourself something and tie your hair up." So I didn't know how to go to another train. I went back where I was. I went back there. And when I got inside the train, a beautiful scarf was laying on the floor. And I picked up the scarf and there was the woman with the babies waiting for somebody to pick her up. And I said, "Is this yours?" And she says, "No, you can have it." So I tied my hair up. And I remember part of it bringing it into my front. I look good. And after all, I was 50 years old, you can imagine. I wanted to look good. As I was looking in the mirror, a little car pulled up at the door. And I couldn't get out. Through the window, I looked at, I saw my mother. With one baby on one side, one baby on the other side. We were, seven children came in with me. And we were seven brothers and sisters, two girls and five boys. And I looked out to the window and I hollered, "Mother." She turned her head, and I don't know if she heard me or not, but the last time I ever saw her. Never saw her again. And I wanted to get off the train, and I couldn't. I had to wait till the wagon pulled away. When the wagon opened up in the back, it was full of dead corpses. The little bus was full of dead corpses. They took the babies and the woman and pushed her on the top of it. When they did that, something magical happened to me. I fainted, or I got out of my mind. Yeah. I just could see evil in the front of me. Mm. And I fainted, and finally the wagon pulled away. I tried to remember the door where my mother went in. I think I did. I'm not sure. Mm. But I made my way to the place where they took all the people in. Yeah. When I put my hand on the door, I heard boom, like several doors have closed, yes, and the door closed right in the front of me. I couldn't get in. We arrived in that train, 6,000 people. Out of the 6,000 people, 200 women and 200 men were selected to live. The rest of them all went to the crematorium. All died. And as I was trying to turn the door, Mengele came up to me. I faced myself with Mengele. I don't know who he was at the time, but then later I find out it was Mengele. Mm-hmm. And he said, "You are chosen to go to work." I looked at him, 50 years old, work, and pushed me to the working group, to the 200 that survived. And I turned around and came back to the same door, tried to get in again, and he saw me, jerking the door again. And he said, "You are chosen to go to work." Mm-hmm. And he started beating on me. Mm-hmm. He beat me so up, my back and my left side was split open, my brain, blood was gushing all over me. He was called away. And I was left there. I gathered myself in a hurry up, and I went to the working group. Yeah. And I said, "My, I'll have to look later to find my parents." And I was home again. And that was the end of that trip to Auschwitz.
So when was another time that your hair
was taken away? Uh-huh. And I went in and went into the working group. And when the second time I was going around, I was very hungry. And I was going around looking for food. And when everybody used to go to sleep, I used to go over to the kitchen, around the kitchen, and grow grass. And I tried to find something in the trash. Okay. And in the trash, sometimes I find half rotten potato or something. I used to clean it up and eat something. But I never got to go to there that day. But there was grass. I used to buy a handful of grass and eat grass. I come from the country, and I put together the cows eat grass and they live. Why can we not do that? So I started chewing on grass. I didn't realize I was getting more vitamins than anywhere else. But it was saving me. It was filling up my stomach. I was eating grass like the cows. The cows eat grass and they live. So I have to eat grass, that's it. And I have to live. I wanted to live, I didn't want to die. No. So one day I went over there in the kitchen area and I couldn't get in the kitchen, but the kitchen area where I could find something. Sometimes I find a half a potato or a rotten potato, cleaned it up and ate it. It helped. It helped. Mm-hmm. It helped. Mm-hmm. It helped. Mm-hmm. And a woman came and she said, "Do you have a sister?" And I said, "No." She said, "They're tattooing inside and I don't have any sister. I don't want to work in the kitchen. I cannot work. I go to my sister." She threw her rope on me. When she threw the rope and on me in a dress, she threw it at me. I took it. I couldn't go no place. I put it on because I was afraid I would get again hit. So I put it on. Yeah. And when I went inside, they were tattooing everybody. And they said, "Don't tattoo, you all gave wrong names. Give you right name. And you birthday, because as we need you right now. I forgot what she told me. And I remember her name still today, Sick Rosie. It was Rosie just like mine, but I didn't know her last first name. So I gave my first name, and I got tattooed. When I got tattooed, after I was tattooed, the German woman walks up to me, and she said, "How old are you?" I didn't thought about what I said, that I was only 15. At the papers, I was 15. I looked at her, I said, 18. I wanted to live, don't you have to 18 to work? Next day she comes back, she says, "Where's my 18-year-old one?" Never called me by my name. She always called me 18-year-old one. She knew her well that I was not 18.
She knew.
But she used me, and I was a perfect instrument for her to be used. She used me to go in a room. She had a key on her neck that nobody was allowed to go in that room. I used to go in with her. I was no danger. I was younger. She was not afraid of me. And she didn't realize I was worse than the other ones were. But that was beside the point. She was very good to me. And she made me take 25 kilo, but that's 50 pounds, a little over, to carry out. And then outside she had prepared two women. One of them dished out the powder into the dishes by 2-3 pounds, and the other one mixed it in. Okay. In the beginning, I was so happy because they are getting thicker food. They have nourishment. I was happy for her, and everybody was laughing. I said, "Why in the world are you all laughing? What's going on? There's something wrong here." Finally, I find out. It was no powder. It was no flour. It was control powder. All they had to have is 2-3 spoons of it, and they didn't know what's going on. Oh, my God. I'm the one who carried it out and put it in the food. I just took sabotage once in a while, but I couldn't do nothing about it. Yeah. I had to carry the stuff and go on. I gave my cousin food always without the powder, but that's all I could do. I couldn't do anything. That was, my hands were tied. I've been in Auschwitz for 6 months doing all that. Finally, it came to the time the people were less coming in, and we were not needed as much in the kitchen. And they laid us off and put us in another camp without the kitchen. I was out of the kitchen. Then they came and they said they want to take a couple hundred. Everyone had a couple hundred, only 200 or 300, you went. You went thousands, you didn't went. Because then they took us straight to the crematorium, the big transport. And they came and they said they want to take a couple hundred to a kitchen in Germany. And I said to the girls, "Let's go. This is the time to go." We went. I went still out on Auschwitz by train. Okay. All the way into Germany. And I was put into a camp. And I was working, peeling potatoes. Then survival came. Okay. And I came out of Dachau area. That's it.
So your hair saved you several times when you were in camp.
Yeah, I saved myself. And finally realized several times as much as we needed, I did to myself. I worked very hard to survive. No matter what it is, I wanted to live. I wanted to be one. I didn't know I'm gonna live this long. But I'm long now here. I'm still here to tell you all, it's happened then, and now you're living different time and a different era. Thank you for listening.
And thank you for listening and being with us. Listeners, thank you, Rosa Blum, for being a part of Straight Talk with Patty today.
Thank you very much. You'll stay well. I love you all. Do whatever you can. Let's hope it never happen again.
Rosa is now in a facility where she is taken care of. She still exercises. She still wants to tell her story and wants all of you to hear her story. So if you have comments you want to make or you want to ask her questions, send them to me. Email them to me at info@pattyfoster.com. That's PattyFoster.com. And I'll pass along the questions to Rosa and she'll answer.
Thanks for listening to Straight Talk with your host, Patty Foster. Patty is a motivational speaker, writer, musician, and has an amazing testimony of God's faithfulness. For more information, log on to www.pattyfoster.com.